Blog Talk Radio.
Sirens and semis pop. Judah keep vexing Ephraim. When will the envy stop? No love for any cops. That's what got Kenny shot. Y'all drinking Henny shots. I'm investing in penny stock. They give me props. Rapping, teaching, debating, unity, while Satan trying to weaken the nation. Cops in my community kill us with every opportunity. No justice or peace, the police get immunity. Look, rubber bullets and riot juice when they gear up, asking where the love went, cause judgment is near us. And kids rather pour up a foe and sip the syrup than learn about how the black Moors ruled in Europe. We divided by economic material schism. My people are serial victims of imperialism. I tell the truth in the booth, boy, my pen no lie. They love the Hebrew Israelites after N-O-I. Let's pray. I pray Abba Naba Yahweh rise. I pray for your grace and everything that you shall provide. I pray every day that you teach me how to strive to put my trust in you, cause in you is where the power lies. My people are dead and pumped with formaldehyde. I pray every day no excuses or alibis. I pray that every last one of these cowards die. I pray all of this in the name of Yahweh Shai. Can't feed the blessed, don't need the stress, so I fast and I rest instead. Cold sweats in the bath, trying to grasp as I sat in bed. In my dream I had a twin, he stabbed me to death and fled. Visions of a pale horse and a dragon with seven heads. Vagabond Babylon being watched by the Lord. Can't even stop by the store, cause on my block it's a war. Jehovah Witnesses don't even knock at my door, cause they know they false doctrine will get chopped by my sword. Yeah, I'm with the lyrical or the spiritual murder play. I see some ravenous wolves leading the herd astray. My homie's mom's a tweaker, I watch him survey. I'm numb to this game and the pain, I'm a invertebrate. When the Messiah comes, serve, we gon' witness the sun purge. He coming back to judge every idle and dumb word. My team always moving in silence, we unheard. The elite wanna converge on the elect and the one-third. I pray, Abba Naba Yahweh rise. I pray for your grace and everything that you shall provide. I pray every day that you teach me how to strive to put my trust in you, cause in you is where the power lies. My people are dead and pumped with formaldehyde. I pray every day no excuses or alibis. I pray that every last one of these cowards die. I pray all of this in the name of Yahweh Shai.
I pray you sing to the Lord a new song. Sing praise in the assembly of the righteous. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praise of God be on the mouths of the saints, and a two-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the demonic nations and punishment on those people. Divide their kings for change.
If only I could spread my wings and fly away, I'd escape this place right away and be gone, vanished without a trace. That's where I stay. It ain't safe for kids to go out and play. No matter if it's night or day, you can be hit by a stray. So every morning when I awake, I pray for a brighter day. Don't know how much more darkness my eyes can take. Criminals populate the city, crime is at its highest rate. Growing up, I was surrounded by a lot of hate. Through the tribulations, I acknowledge that your hour is great. Can't wait till he send his son to deliver us up out this place. Babylon the Great, better known as the United States. The place that was built off of oppressing an entire race. But when them tribes awake, we about this place. Every nation under the sun, gonna be more shook than a violent quake. Let's get it right, Jake, so we can take our rightful place. The 12 gates reserved for us, our paradise awake.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Good morning. Baba Kwak Tawab, which means good morning in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your host for this morning, your brother, your friend, as always, Tazapa, and welcome to another exciting edition of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk, sponsored by ISBHPK. Welcome to the show, y'all. Hope everybody is healthy. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Hope everybody had a great Purim. For those brothers who celebrated this, this past weekend, happy Purim. Man, Passover. Passover is coming up pretty quick, man. Next month. Yeah, I believe we got like, what, 2 weeks, I think, till Passover. Is going down in H-Town, man, in Houston. Our brother school out there, the brothers Quatazop, Laka Rob, the brother Thawam, they're hosting this year. So we got brothers coming down from Rochester. And VA will be Kazakia's crew and Zionala's crew. But all under one umbrella, y'all. ISBHPK, Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, man. That's the umbrella we all are under. If it's your first time tuning in to the show, yes, we are Hebrew Israelites. Hebrew being our language, Israelite being our nationality. So that's who we are and that's what we do. I want to send a shout out to all our brother schools and shout out to the 12 tribes, man, worldwide. And thank everybody for tuning in. But I'm going to dive right into it. So like I always do, y'all, Psalms chapter 118 and verse 24, which reads, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So good or bad, happy or sad, y'all. Thank the Most High that He led you to it. He's going to bring you through it. You're going to come out better on the other side because of it, man. Definitely. All praises to the Most High. So, y'all, I want to go ahead and dive into the news. And I want to apologize first and foremost to y'all before I get into it. For starting 30 minutes late, man, I had a really late night last night. So that's why the show is going down at 10:30 this morning. We usually start at 10. The Waterman Shop is hooking the broadcast up. And welcome back, brother. Welcome back, man. Rakatai Haobah Shemiyab Shai. Praise to the Most High and His Son, Christ, man, for welcoming you home, man. Safe flight to the crib, man. Oh, yeah, I want to send shout out to my nephews, too, man. I really enjoyed Sunday. Hebrew male training. But without further ado, man, let me go ahead and dive into the show, dive into the current events and the news. And that's what I usually do, y'all, if it's your first time tuning in. I spent about an hour or so going over current events, the news, and just basically speaking my mind, man, on my platform. So here we go, man. I know y'all probably been hearing about this. This has been dominating the news probably almost half as much as the propaganda about the war, and I'm going to get into that, too, here in a little bit with the news. So this is from ABC News, y'all, and this is dealing with the Supreme Court nominee, what is it? Ketanji Brown Jackson. All right, first and foremost, y'all, I don't know if y'all knew this, but she's married to an Edomite. I forget the cat's name, but his last name is Jackson. He's some type of doctor, but he's also kin to Ryan Paul, I think it is. So she's down with the whole... the whole clique, man, the whole Satan posse. She's drank the Kool-Aid, man. And what I wanted to dive into is, and this is just proof that she did, in fact, drink the Kool-Aid, man. I mean, what really did we expect? I mean, here's a sister like most so-called professional women, especially our women, man. You don't really see it as much with the nation's women and their people. And I'm talking about the hyphenated last names, man. Come on, y'all. Come on. That's a very masculine spirit. And you know what's so idiotic behind it? It's because these women, they have these hyphenated last names. And, most of them that do, they have their father's last name anyway. But they want to hold on to their last name when they get married, I guess as a form of independence or a form of this is me and who I really am and I don't belong to my husband or whatever the case. You're still taking a man's last name. Because when you were born, you were given your father's last name because you belong to him. You're his property. And I'm talking factual. That's biblical. Matter of fact, let me get that just to prove what I'm saying. But it, like I said, it's real idiotic. That's why you was given his name in the first place. And they refer to it as a maiden name once you get married. Why? Because when you had his name, you was his maiden, your father's maiden, until your husband came along, you got married, and you received his name. And now you're his property. You're his wife, man. But let me just prove what I'm saying. Let me just stop bumping off at the gun. So let's get Numbers chapter 30, man. So this is Numbers chapter 30. And let me start at verse 1, y'all. Let me try to get through this kind of quick because I want to get back on topic. Numbers chapter 30, verse 1. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeded out his mouth. And this is why Christ said in the New Testament, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay, because we're only as good as our word. So this is talking about if you make a vow to the Most High, you have to keep your word. Meaning if you say, okay, and I know we got this bad when you drunk and you staring at that porcelain God because you puking all over yourself and you can't leave it because you're not trying to mess up the whole house or whoever house you in. Oh, Lord, I never drink again. You just let me stop going through this. You just let me just stop throwing up. And then the next weekend, you overindulging again. And I have to put that out because there's nothing wrong with drinking, but there is something wrong with overindulging, man. But that's a vow. That's an actual vow, whether y'all knew it or not. Or, Lord, I'm going to stop smoking weed. I'm going to stop smoking weed this year. Y'all call it New Year's resolutions, right? And everybody break it like a week into it. But when you say these things to God, man, the Most High is going to hold you to your word. I just want us to know that. Let me get back to the point. Verse 3. It says, if a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth. Now, listen to this. This woman's in her daddy's house in her youth. She's a young woman. Verse 4. And her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she had bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her. So if she's praying to the Most High, she's vowing something, her father hear it. If he agrees with it, he going to hold his peace. It says, then all her vow shall stand, and every bond wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow it, now listen to this, if he say, no, I don't agree with what you violent. I don't agree with you asking for. Verse 5 again. But if her father disallow her in the day that he hear it, not any of her vows or of her bounds wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand. And the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallow it. So what is this showing you? This is showing you that her father has ownership, rulership over her. I mean, what else could it be? If he's disallowing her conversation, her request to the Most High, then he definitely has authority over his daughter. Now watch this, verse 6. And if she had at all an husband, that's her husband coming into the play, when she vow or utter out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband hear it, and held his peace. So this is a woman that has a husband now. And now she's sending up vows to the Most High, prayers to the Most High, and her husband hears it. If he disallows it, I'm sorry, let me read verse 7 again. And her husband hear it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand, and her vows wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallow her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect. And the Lord shall forgive her. Are y'all seeing this? When a woman child is born, man, she belongs to her father, y'all. This is why, even in today's age, let me use just today's references so you understand. This is why when a child is born, whether it be a male child or a female child, the child takes what? The father's last name. Why? Because that child belongs to the father. I hope everybody's getting this. Now, let me back that up with Ecclesiastes chapter 36. So once she leaves her father's house, and I'm talking about a woman, and she gets married to a man, she takes on her husband's last name. That's the way it should be, because now she belongs to her husband. She's her husband's possession now. Let me prove it. Ecclesiastes chapter 36, verse 24. He that getteth a wife, begetteth a possession. Does everybody see this? Let me read this again. Ecclesiastes chapter 36, verse 24. He that getteth a wife, begetteth a possession, a help like unto himself, and a pillow of rest. So when you get a wife, she belongs to you. That's why she wears your last name. That's why you got the, I forgot the term used for it, but they, you know, they have the title Ms., right? M-I-S-S, Ms., which lets you know she's what? She's single. She don't belong to nobody. She's wearing her daddy's last name if her daddy claimed her, because this day and age, you know, there's certain instances where you're wearing your mama's last name because your daddy and nobody stepped in or whatever. So Ms. is for the single women. And then you have Mrs., meaning what? She belongs to this particular mister, and that's why his name follows that little, what the hell they call it, that title. That's why his name follows. That's why they say when you marry somebody, somebody get married, Mr. and Mrs. is his. That's what the Mrs. is about. She belongs to him. We completely look over that. But anyway, that's out of order with the Most High. So going back to this article, this fact check, and some ABC News, once again, y'all, Judge, I'll be butchering her name, Ketanji Brown Jackson, child porn sentence treaty mainstream. So let me read on. Supreme Court confirmation hearing for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson opened this week amidst a flurry of misleading allegations by Republican Senator Josh Hawley that the nominee has a long record of letting child porn offenders off the hook during sentencing. In every single child porn case for which we can find records, Judge Jackson deviated from the federal sentencing guidelines in favor of child porn offenders, Harkley tweeted Thursday, highlighting 9 cases from her time as a federal district court judge. So this is letting you know that she, in fact, is down with, like I said, Satan's camp, man. She's working for the man. She's definitely sold her soul. I'm going to read on. It says, while court records show that Jackson did impose lighter sentences than federal guidelines suggested. So here's the proof. They got the court records to prove that the allegations of this senator is actual. But trip off of this. Hartley's insinuation neglects critical context, including the fact that the senator himself has voted to confirm at least 3 federal judges who also engaged in the same practices. Man, it's the good old boys club. Come on, y'all. Y'all been heard about damn Pizzagate and the allegations that Hillary Clinton had, also Bill Clinton, and a bunch of other senators and mayors and high officials. Those claims are actual, man. Do your own research about the child smuggling ring that they've been having going on. In fact, CPS is involved in that. You know, but don't take my word for it. Do your research. These people been having sex with kids, and they've been sending up child sacrifices too. I don't know if y'all knew that. That's been going on. But this sister, supposedly, because she is a black woman, is nominated to join the good old boys club. She been in it anyway, but now she really in Satan's club, doing Satan's work. So what type of laws you think she's going to start passing? And that's why they ushered in this same sex thing, y'all, a couple of years back, is to get everybody's mind prepared for them legalizing pedophilia. This is why they gave these pedophiles lighter sentences, man. This is why they gave them slaps on the wrist, because they doing it too. And they can't throw the book at them, because those people got dirt on them. Why the hell do you think Jeffrey Epstein is dead now? I'm talking about he committed suicide. Man, please. He had too much dirt. And you watch the documentary, and he was always telling people, man, I got footage. I got too much dirt on people. This is what he always said. This is why he was so cocky about what he was doing and said he was never going to go to prison. But this is always been our people's downfall, man. Let's get Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26. See, I had a caller on the line. Had one. Guess they ain't like what they was hearing. They hung up fast. Let's get Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. Hey, man, but like Paul tells you in Romans, he said, what if some did not believe? He said, let God be true, but every man a liar, man. It don't matter because you don't believe or you disagree with the facts. That don't make God's word not true. All right, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. He says, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them, man. The Most High created Israel to be upright, man. We kept breaking his law, statutes, and commandments. And in return, we were getting seduced by our neighbors that were around us, meaning the other nations, man. No different than this sister. She got seduced because she wanted what? She wanted power. She wanted authority. She wanted a better way of living. And she sold her soul for it, man. It's no different than these entertainers. They do the same thing, man. And hell, ain't even got to go so far as to say entertainers. There's some brothers and sisters that's in corporate America doing the same thing. Some brothers and sisters that ain't even in corporate America. They're in blue-collar America, and they doing the same thing, man. They selling their souls, man, selling their integrity. That's what it really means to sell your soul. You sell your integrity. You sell your nationhood to, I don't see color no more. I don't see color, boss. Everybody's everybody. We all bleed blood. What type of nonsense is that, man? Anyway, let me get this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20, and it reads, but I say, the things which the Gentiles, and this Gentile, you never look it up, it means nations or heathen. And it's in the New Testament, mind you. And this is Paul speaking, who y'all love to quote and say, Paul said that the Gentiles could be saved. And y'all have no concept of history or the context that Paul is speaking in. But y'all won't pull this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, the Gentiles, the nations, They sacrifice to devils. So everything that they sacrifice, that they hold dear to them, all nations, they sacrifice to devils. It says, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. This is what Paul's saying, man. But what are the other nations doing, man? They're so devilish. They're ushering in same-sex unions. They're ushering in pedophilia. They saying that, what they call it, that real history is critical race theory. They're still celebrating these major holidays. You got the one of the biggest major holidays coming up right around the corner, Astarte. You know it as Easter. You know, it's the God that's on the Starbucks logo. They still doing that. And we've been saying for years, what, bunnies don't lay eggs? That's a fertility God, man. That's why you got the eggs and you got the rabbit. Because the rabbit is known, rabbits are known for what? Having a lot of sex. That's why they got their common term, effing like a rabbit, right? We know that a woman carries what? Eggs. Fertility, right? That's why they go and they plant the Easter eggs, they hide them out or whatever. Ain't nothing new under the sun, man. They've been doing this. But that's demonic. But this is what this new Supreme Court Justice nominee is all about, man. She's drank the Kool-Aid. And it's crazy, too, man, because they got a sister that I think she's the Secretary of, of Foreign Relations or something like that. I think that's her title. But y'all been hearing her in the news with this whole Russia thing that's going on. So it's a lot of our people that's been drinking Satan's Kool-Aid, Satan's potion, man, and become a part of his legion. All right, I'm going to jump to the next article. And this is about what's going on in the war, y'all, as far as the war is concerned. And this article is from the Atlantic Council. And the headlines read, is the EU about to build its own military capacity? Thanks to Germany, the jury's still out. Now, this article is from December 16, 2021. And it reads, it says, with a new ruling coalition in Germany, some experts are debating whether the ambitious foreign policy goals it outlined in November suggest a major reset for the country's international strategy, which implications for the European Union's EU-owned external policy. Supporters of increased European military integration, especially of autonomous EU military capacity, have taken the new coalition's interest in an assertive foreign policy, particularly against Russian aggression in Ukraine, as a sign that an EU-run military power may one day be feasible. Like I said, this article is from 2021, y'all, from last year, December. So what it's talking about is the EU or Europe basically breaking away from NATO and forming its own military. And this has biblical references, and I'm going to pull them all in a minute. But I'm going to read on. It says, but while various idealistic coalition members endorsed the ideal of a European army in their campaign, supporters temper their hopes for its establishment. The parties that compose this new coalition all scrupulously avoided mentioning in their coalition pact this sensitive notion of a European army, which invokes images of loss of national sovereignty and is more often used by Euroskeptics than not. Instead, they're opting to work towards European sovereignty. But this will still require undergoing European military integration that continues to contend with enduring political, logistic, and funding issues. History also suggests the endeavor could be a difficult one, as there have been history also suggests the endeavor could be a difficult one, as there have been numerous failed attempts at forming autonomous EU military capacity. So they saying they've been trying to do this for years, for decades, but they have not been successful. It says the United States once even fought such efforts. So the United States is against them forming their own military in Europe. It says, for example, when then UK Prime Minister Tony Blair and French President Jacques Chirac signed an agreement in 1998 at Saint-Malo to form a European military force, the Clinton administration argued that it would render NATO a relic of the past. So this is what they're afraid of. The United States doesn't want Europe to form its own military because then they will have no need for NATO. And it will basically mean that they don't need the U.S.'s help, plus they'll become a threat to the U.S. It says U.S. opposition to integration remained for nearly the next two decades. In 2018, the Trump administration denounced plans for an EU army. So even Trump. So we got the Clinton administration against Europe forming its own military. Got the Trump administration against it. Now I'm going to read on. It says, moreover, resistance to create an EU army remains in Central and Eastern Europe countries such as Poland and Latvia, as these newer NATO and EU member states fear that any EU military structures could replace existing NATO institutions and reduce U.S. military presence in the region. So this is why they don't want Europe to form its own military, because then they understand that they would be at odds and eventually war with the U.S. Now, that was from last year, y'all. Now, trip off of this. Boom. Let's go here. And this is from, let me get the source. This is from NPR. And this came out, this is from March 17, 2022. Germany is building what's expected to become Europe's largest military. I'm going to read it again. Germany is building what's expected to become Europe's largest military. So from what, last year all the way up to this year and beyond, they've been planning this, and finally it's coming to fruition. It says 3 days after Russian troops entered Ukraine, German Chancellor Scholz announced Germany would more than double its military funding, a move that caught Europe and Germans by surprise. It says German Chancellor Olaf Scholz decision to more than double the funding for his country's military has caught not only Europeans but also Germans by surprise. The country's reckoning with its own history has for decades prevented it from building a big military. But now there's a war on Europe's doorstep. And as NPR's Rob Schertz reports, the continent's largest economy, so Germany is Europe's largest economy, so they got a lot of weight. They got a lot of say-so in Europe. It says it's building what's expected to become Europe's largest military. Y'all hear this? Now, let me jump to, let me get into it, because I told you this has biblical references. Let me back up what I'm saying. So let's go to Obadiah. It was only one chapter. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to pull what I'm talking about. So, y'all, we're going to Obadiah chapter 1, verse 7. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 7, and it reads, Matter of fact, let me read verse 1, part of it when I'm jumped down, so we know who it's talking about. Matter of fact, let me just read verse 6, so you know who it's talking about. Verse 6, it says, how are the things that Esau searched out? If you're unfamiliar with who Esau is definitely, biblically and historically, the so-called white man. You can read this through countless precepts all throughout the Bible and historical references. And I've proven it time and time again here on this show. Secular sources, you can get a book called The Roman Empire, The Empire of the Edomites. It proves beyond a reason of the doubt who the real Edomites truly are. Anyway, reading on, it says, how are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy, a confederacy means these people are with you. They're joined together. Like here in America, they had the Civil War where you had the Confederates, which is basically the whole South, joined together, unified against what they call the North or the Yankees. So a confederacy is a group of countries that are together as one. Now, trip off this, verse 7. It says, all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. So all the men that were joined together with, or all the countries that were joined together with the United States, it says, brought thee even to the border. The United States have brought them to their borders, and they brought the United States to their borders. It says, the men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee. So the UN, United Nations, used to be at peace with America, but now they're starting to see, hey, man, we can't rely on America. We got to protect our own interests and become our own sovereignty. It says the men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee. So they playing that NATO game like, yeah, we together. But the whole time they starting their own army because they understand what's about to go down because they know the Bible, man. They know what's going on with Russia now has biblical proportions. It says, and prevailed against thee, that they that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. Meaning what? They're using trickery to bait you in, to make you think they down, they about to fight with you, and then you get into the fight, and then they stab you in the back. It says, there is no understanding in him, and ain't no understanding in Esau, man, because they have not just made leagues with European nations. They've made leagues with countries that they've colonized, such as China. Because y'all remember the Opium Wars? Remember those? Go back, do a little bit of research. The Brits had all of China strung out on opium. They did the same thing to the East Indians in India. Same thing, man. They also had leads with the Japanese. I'm sorry, I have leads with the Japanese. And when I say the Brits, man, I'm still talking about America. Because remember, America spawned from out of Europe anyway with the colonies. But it's still talking about the same people. But America has had a lot of leads with the different nations that they've colonialized. Europe has had a lot of leads and covenants with the nations that they colonialized. But they're going to turn on them. They're going to remember all the things that you've done to them. Like, you think Japan has forgot that America dropped two damn nuclear warheads on them in the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki? They ain't forgot about that. This is why the Most High saying ain't no understanding in Esau, man. He'll bring his enemies to his borders and think that they at peace with them when they really don't mean them no good. They ain't forgot what you done did to them. Now, let's couple this, y'all, in Obadiah with Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13 and what verse I want to start at. Let's start at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 13. I'm kidding, talking about Hosea. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 1. The burden of Babylon. Now, I did a class, and you can find it on the archives, that's talking about Babylon the Great. So this ain't talking about ancient Babylon. It ain't talking about Neo-Babylon under the Assyrians. It's talking about America. That's the new Babylon. Go back and peep that class. So in, here in Isaiah 13, this is what it's talking about. It says, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. So when it says lift up a banner is a sign. It's a big sign. It's a warning sign letting everybody know. When it says upon the high mountain, it means the highest form of government. At the government, let the people know. It says exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand. If you're shaking your hand at somebody, you're telling them off. You're being frank with them. And we are doing this. Why I'm doing this broadcast. I'm shaking the hand. I'm telling America what's coming. I'm telling the world what's coming. I'm telling my people what's about to happen. It says, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. Who's going to be going to the gates of the nobles? Everybody that comes in contact with us that's telling and teaching the truth out of the Bible. You don't think they got spies and all of these internet police on the internet watching what we're teaching? And you know they're going right back to their governors and their Illuminati people and the elites of Esau, and they're telling them, hey, man, they teaching this. These cats know the Bible. They've been saying that. This is why they be blocking brothers on YouTube, blocking brothers on Facebook, and on all public social media outlets. Because they don't want people hearing this. Because we bring out any events and we pairing them with the news and secular sources. And like, damn, man, these cats know what they're talking about. This stuff is really going to happen. They don't want people to know this. They trying to get everybody caught up in March Madness and this damn Senate hearing. This what's the name of it? This Supreme Court hearing. They want everybody tied up in that. Verse 3, it says, I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for my anger. Even them that rejoice in my highness. And remember, this is the burden of Babylon. Verse 4, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, what I want to get to, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of kingdoms, of nations gathered together. So what is the Most High doing? He gathering all the kingdoms, all the nations of the globe. He's gathering them together. This is the Lord of hosts, mustered the host of the battle. So muster, something like in military, you have muster where you blow the bugle or you call formation and everybody got to come out and line up in formation. This is what the Most High is doing right now. He's telling all the nations, but come on down to the battle, man. Let's get it on. World War III, baby. Now let's get Joel. So all of this is running right together, y'all, with what's happening right now as far as the UE trying to form their own military as well as some other stuff I'm going to bring out too, y'all. So where are we at right now? So Joel chapter 3. And let's read verse 1 first. It says, for behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations. So what he's talking about bringing again the captivity, meaning he's coming to get us up out of here, man, get us from all the nations that he scattered us to. I'm going to read verse 2 again. It says, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. The valley of Jehoshaphat is the valley of judgment. So the Most High, and we just read it in Isaiah chapter 13, where he says he's mustering all the nations together. This is what he's talking about here in Joel. He's going to bring them down to the valley of judgment so they can receive the judgment that the Most High is going to give them. It says, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel. The Most High is mad at the nations for all the stuff that they've done to us. This is why he said he's going to plead with them for us, like no different than he pleaded with Egypt. Y'all remember the story? Go back and read it, man, in Exodus. When the Most High came and rescued his people up out of Egypt, it's going to go down the same way here in America. Except we're going to be going up in those chariots, which they call UFOs. And I brought it out last week, how they got what they call UFOs in the people in them, they say, aliens, that are tampering with nuclear warheads. Just type it in, y'all. UFOs tamper with nuclear warheads, and a list of articles going to come up. All true. So it ain't no hocus pocus, no fairy tale, nothing, man. The chariots of the Lord are real. It says, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my lands. That was verse 2. Now let's jump to verse 12. It says, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. The heathen is talking about the nations, or also the Gentiles. Those three words are synonymous with each other. It says, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Like I told you, the word Jehoshaphat means judgment. It's the valley of judgment the Most High is bringing all the nations to. To give the nations his judgment, man. His judgment ain't going to be one that they like, because he going to destroy these nations. You got to think about it. How else can Yahweh Shai, who the world calls Christ, be King of Kings, Lord of Lords? Because what's a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords? That's an emperor. Meaning what? He's over all the kingdoms of the world. He's going to be the emperor of everybody. That's why the scriptures say all knees shall bow, because they are. But there's a lot of stuff that's got to take place first. The Most High got to show his power and his strength to get everybody to bow. It's like that old West Coast Connection song. What was it? Was that the name of that group? What, Ice Cube, Mac-10. And what was the brother's name? Oh, man. I forget his name. Dub C. Yeah, West Coast Connection. Bow down when it come to your town. Bow down. People going to be bowing down, man, when the Most High show his might, when he start turning stuff up. Now, I want to get this article that I alluded to. Because that article I read before is talking about the European Union. But I want us to trip off of this right here. Y'all probably heard about this in the news. It says, man, I ain't going to read all of this. Here it is. Now, this is the turmoil that's going on. Some of it anyway. They got a whole account of its history. But I'm not, like I said, I ain't going to read all of this, y'all, for time restraints. But the article, this article is from BBC News, and it says, what's behind the China-Taiwan divide? So it's asking you what's going on with China and Taiwan. So the history of Taiwan is it used to be a Chinese territory because it sits right off the coast of China, y'all. China's the mainland. So it was owned by, who was it owned by? I believe it was owned by the French for a little while. And then I think Japan had it for a minute. And then the Chinese took it. So that's a little crash course in their history. I'm going to get to the point, though. It says, after Donald Trump won the 2016 U.S. Matter of fact, I can't start right there. I got to read up. It says, and in 2000, when Taiwan elected Chen Shui-bian as president, Beijing was alarmed. Mr. Chen had openly backed independence. So this new president that they got, what they had in 2000, he wants China to be its own nation, have its own sovereignty. So it says, a year after Mr. Chen was reelected in 2004, China passed the so-called anti-secession law, stating China's right to use non-peaceful means against Taiwan if it tried to secede from China. Mr. Chen was succeeded by Ma Ying-jeou, who after taking office in 2008, sought to improve relations with China through economic agreements. 8 years later, in 2016, Taiwan's current president, Tsai Ing-wen, was elected. She leads the Democratic Progressive Party, which leans towards eventually official independence from China. So they're trying to get free of China, Taiwan is. After Donald Trump won the 2016 U.S. election, Ms. Tsai spoke to him on the phone. Now, y'all probably heard about this. She did call Donald Trump. Now, what happened, it says, a break with U.S. policy set in 1979 when former relations were cut. So he wasn't supposed to do that because him doing so, he recognized Taiwan as his own nation. And China got mad about that. Excuse me. It says, despite the lack of formal ties, the U.S. has pledged to supply Taiwan with defense weapons and has stressed any attack by China would cause grave concern. Do y'all see this? Does this sound familiar? Does this sound familiar? It's the same thing that's going on over in Ukraine. And America is backing what? The Ukrainians, because did y'all know that Ukraine used to be part of Russia or part of the Iron Curtain? Yeah, man, history repeats itself. There's nothing new under the sun, man. But America's essentially saying, if you mess with Taiwan, tell China, if you mess with Taiwan, you're going to get this.
Two chops to the throat. Two chops to the damn throat.
Had to get that in. Anyway, it says, despite the lack of formal ties, the U.S. has pledged to supply Taiwan with defense weapons and has stressed any attack by China would cause grave concern. Throughout 2018, China stepped up pressure on international companies, forcing them to list Taiwan as a part of China on their website and threatening to block them from for doing business in China if they fail to comply. So they not playing with this, man. China like, man, that place belongs to us. Taiwan is ours. It says Ms. Tsai won a second term in 2020. By that time, Hong Kong had sent months of arrest. Okay, I ain't gonna read all that. So let me get back to the scriptures to see how this all ties in with World War III. And all the Most High gathered all these nations down in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. So let's get 2 Ezra chapter 15. Now I'm going to jump around a little bit, y'all. So we're in 2 Ezra chapter 15 in the Apocrypha. 15 verse 1, it says, behold, speak thou in the ears of my people the words of prophecy, which I will put in thy mouth, said the Lord, and cause them to be written in paper, for they are faithful and they are true, man. What is he talking about? He's talking about what we're reading right now. We're reading the words of his prophecy out of his book known as the Bible. He said, cause it to be written down in paper. The hell with some damn Nostradamus. The Most High is on point with all his prophecies, all his predictions. Let me jump down to verse 8. He says, I will hold my tongue no more as touching their wickedness. He's talking about the nations. And you're going to read all this chapter, but I advise y'all to go back and read the whole chapter. This chapter is bad. It's so on point with all the current events that's going on right now. He says, I will hold my tongue no more as touching their wickedness, which they profanely commit. Neither will I suffer them in those things in which they wickedly exercise themselves. Behold, the innocent and righteous blood cried unto me. So we cry to the Most High to get us the hell up out of here. It says, and the souls of the just complain continually. And this is where you hear brothers and sisters complaining all day, every day. You call and talk to a brother. The brother's telling you, man, I'm sick of this place. Man, you know, the other day I went somewhere and I seen these damn unisex bathrooms. And the dude came out while I was in the bath in the stall. And the dude next to me, while I was at the urinal, and the dude next to me had on a dress and pulled his dress up and pulled his rod out to pee. I mean, you hear these stories. Or a brother complaining about the school and how they got his kids coming home with damn holiday crap when he expressively sent letters and emails to the teacher that said his kid didn't participate in this nonsense. These are the complaints that it's talking about. Let me read this again, man. It says, I will hold my tongue no more as touching their wickedness, which they profanely commit. Neither will I suffer them in those things in which they wickedly exercise themselves. Behold, the innocent and the righteous blood cry unto me. These are the prayers we send unto the Most High. Hurry up, see your house shy. Get us up out of here. It says, and the souls of the just complain continually. I know I be complaining, man. I hate the hell out of this place, man. Can't wait to leave. It's like they come up, they just be inventing wickedness, man. Every day it's a different wicked invention that they came up with. Every day, y'all. Tell me if I'm lying. Let's jump down to verse 20. Behold, said God, or the Most High, I will call together all the kings of the earth to reverence me. The word reverence means respect. So why is the Most High calling them down? He's calling them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat for judgment, but he's also calling them down so they can respect him and see his power. Now watch this. It says, which are from the rising of the sun. So all the nations from the rising of the sun, the far east, from the south, from the east, and Lebanon, Middle East, to turn themselves one against another. Y'all see this? And repay the things that they have done to them. When it says the things that they have done to them, it's talking about the things that they've done to each other, and the Most High is going to pay them back for the things that they've done to us. Now let's jump down to my point, verse 46. Watch this, y'all. It says, and thou, Asia, who's in Asia? The Chinese, we just got to talking about. And thou, Asia, that art partaker of the hope of Babylon, and it ain't talking about Neo-Babylon or ancient Babylon, it's talking about Babylon the Great, which is America. It says that they have partook in Babylon, and they have, man. The Asian markets revolve around the American markets. The British markets. Asia's partaking in everything America got going on. That's why China then came over here and bought up damn half of the United States. It says, matter of fact, and that's why they ass in Africa and all in the Caribbean. Our Benjamite brothers call them coolies. Them in the East Indians, man, they everywhere. But they taking a page right out of Esau's book, out of Babylon the Great's book, known as colonialism. So that's what they do. It says, and art the glory of her person. Woe be unto thee, thou wretch, because thou hast made thyself like unto her. And China's made themselves just like America. They done put off their traditional garments. centuries ago and started wearing what? Business suits. They women put on pants, blue jeans, Levi's, started drinking Coca-Cola, eating McDonald's. Now they fat as hell over there. It says, and has decked thy daughters in whoredom. Now they daughters dressing like the hoes here in America. Yet they might please and glory in thy lovers, which have always desired to commit whoredom with thee. Thou hast followed her that is hated in all her works and inventions. Everybody hate America. They won't come out and say it, but they hate the hell out of America. It's a secret hate because of all the places America has colonized and all the dirt they done done, all the governments they done destabilized. It says, therefore, said God, or the Most High, I will send plagues upon thee. So you wonder why COVID-2 was running rampant. It says, widowhood, poverty, famine, sword, and pestilence to waste thy houses with destruction and death. And the glory of thy power shall be dried up as a flower. The Most High is telling China he's going to dry their power up, just like he's going to dry America's power up. It says, when the heat shall arise that is set over thee. What damn heat? Thermal nuclear destruction. I hope y'all seeing this. Now let's get Psalms chapter 83, man. Because this is the time. This is what David was praying for. And we just read it out of 2 Ezra. We praying for it too. Psalms 83 and 1. Keep not thy silence, O God. Hold not thy peace. And be not still, O God. This is the prayer we're supposed to be sending up right now. Most High, don't be silent. Most High, wake up. Get them. It says, for lo, thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may no more be in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. All these nations are against us and have been against us and have profited off of exploiting us, man. Like I said, this is why you got China all in the Caribbean, the East Indians as well. And it goes on to mention all the nations who took part in this, y'all. I ain't going to read it because time constraints. This is the last one I want to get dealing with this, and I'm going to jump into the class, y'all. Let's get Luke chapter 21. Prophecies of the Bible, man, coming to fruition. Luke 21 and 24. And it reads, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, talking about us, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And we were led into captivity in all nations, many captivities. It says, in Jerusalem, meaning the people, us, and the place, shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, meaning the nations, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So what is Christ telling us? What is Yahushua telling us here? That the Gentiles, the other nations, were designated a certain period of time to reign in authority. They were designated a certain time. So how the hell could they get rulership and authority on the earth with us if they were already designated a certain time and we in that certain time right now? Come on, man. Our people got to stop having this damn church mentality and listening to these fools when they tell you, hey, y'all the Gentiles. No, y'all ain't the Gentiles. Y'all the Israelites. They the damn Gentiles. They trying to play this role reversal and then try to say, oh, but y'all could make it. According to what Christ said, the Gentiles is already had their time appointed to them. And that does not coincide with his kingdom. So, y'all, that's what time we in, man. The time of the Gentiles, it's been fulfilled. It's a wrap. We going home. So, y'all, I'm finna transition over now to get to my class. So the class is titled Vocation. And I think this is what my third installment. I mean, no, this is actually part four. My bad. So I'm going to try to finish it up this morning, y'all. So let's do a small recap, because the last class was dealing with the covenants, and the covenants only going to the children of Israel. And you read that Old Testament, New Testament, same thing. So let's do a little recap. We were going over circumcision. So we're in Joshua chapter 5. And we're going to find out that the circumcision was actually a token of the covenant that the Most High made with our forefather, which eventually would be passed down to us and to 1,000 generations. Like that's what I was going over last week. So we're in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 2. Just doing a little recap. So Joshua 5 and 2, it says, "At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time." Why does he say the second time? Because Moses circumcised everybody before that. Let's prove it, though. Let's get Exodus chapter 12. Like I said, I read this last week. I'm just recapping. Exodus chapter 12 and what verse? Verse 48, it reads, "And when a stranger..." Let me start at 47. "All the congregation of Israel shall keep it." It's talking about Passover. "And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof." So this is telling us clearly that Moses had to circumcise these people, because they weren't circumcised. That was the only way they could keep the Passover. And Joshua validates that. Let me read it again. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. "At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time." You see, the second time. "And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins." Where are we at? So let's jump, because I did say that this was passed down from our forefather Abraham. So let's prove that. Let's find out why Moses was circumcising us and why Joshua had to do the same thing. So let's go to Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to start at verse 10. It says, "This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee," seed, singular, not plural. So this is talking about one of Abraham's kids, because he had a lot of kids. Remember, he had Ishmael, he had Isaac, and then he had sons with Keturah. But all of them were circumcised, but the Most High said he was going to make the covenant or the contract with the seed, singular, which was Isaac, not the rest of those kids. So I'm going to read it again, verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. So it's a token of the covenant, not the actual covenant. But that's why Moses circumcised the children of Israel. And the same reason Joshua was doing it here in Joshua chapter 5. And let's pick up in verse 4. "And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise," now listen to this, "all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt." This is factual. They did. All the men of war that were 20 and up, they died. Verse 5. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. So what had happened? What transpired? You had us not teaching our children about the ways of the Most High, his law, statutes, and his commandments. And I say that because they didn't even circumcise the kids. But like I said, like I keep saying, this has always been our downfall as a nation and as a people. We neglect to teach our children the Most High's ways. Because think about it. If you don't teach them, then what can they pass down to their kids? They have to make stuff up or be seduced by the world and teach them worldly wisdom, and then only to have it come back and bite us in the rear end later and have the Most High send more punishments. Well, ain't no more punishment after this, but have the curses of Deuteronomy 28 still apply because our children don't know the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. You know, and these holy rollers be so quick to talk about, well, the law's done away with. They have no understanding of the Bible. Don't you idiots know that the laws and statutes of the Most High is the centerpiece of the whole damn Bible? Is the centerpiece of our people's history? And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say damn Bible. But it's the centerpiece of the story of the children of Israel and the relationship we have with the Most High. It's the whole thing. From beginning to beginning, cover to cover. This is the reason, I'm going to get into it, why the children of Israel kept going in captivities in the first place. But anyway, let me read on. It says, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, so all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not shew them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that flowed with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua was circumcised. See, we didn't circumcise our kids. For they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. I hope everybody's seeing this. This is not our neglect not to teach our children the ways of the Most High. Verse 8. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole, meaning till they healed up. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. So we were in the wilderness for 40 years, man. And that whole time, nobody said, hey, man, you know what? We need to circumcise our kids. All right, man, let's jump over to hold this. We're going to come back. Wait a minute. No, let that go. Let's go to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 27. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 27. And it reads, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, Moses speaking, y'all, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. This is what Joshua was talking about. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upwards. So from 20 years old and upwards, 20 and up, which have murmured against me, those were the ones that died. Now read, I'm going to read this, verse 30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and the son, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. So Caleb and Joshua were the only ones that were 20 and up that lived. Everybody else died. Verse 31. But your little ones, which ye said should be at prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. So the Most High, this, everything Joshua just talked about. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children, now listen to this, shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms. So our kids had to pay for what we did. The Most High was prepared to let us walk straight into the land, but we was tripping. So because we were tripping, he had to kill us off, and our children had to get some of their work also. It says, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, after the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquity. Even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Wow. Most High was like, think about it. I'm going to give y'all 40 years to think about it. It says, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Now, let's go to Joshua chapter 12 now. Go back to Joshua chapter 12. Now, this right here is, I'm going to start going into the conquest of lands. So Joshua 12 and 1. Now, these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan towards the rising of the sun from the river Arnon unto Mount Hemon and all the plains of the east. So he's giving us a little history lesson of all the kings that we killed to get to where we were, to Jordan, before we crossed over Jordan. Because if y'all never looked at it, man, I want y'all to get a map or a Bible atlas and look at all of our land. It's much bigger than what you think it is. So let's jump down to verse 24. It says, the king of Tizar, 1, all the kings, 30 and 1. So Israel took out 31 kings, took out a whole bunch of nations to get to where Joshua had, or Moses had brought us, where Joshua would pick up from what Moses did. Now let's get, I want to get this right here, y'all. This is out of the Holman's Bible Atlas, and this is page, let me see, what page? Page 75, y'all. So page 75, it says, Conquest and Settlement. The death of Moses closed an important chapter in the life of Israel, but a new challenge lay before the people. Poised beyond the Jordan, in the plains of Moab, the tribe of Israel beheld the land promised to Abraham. To claim their inheritance would not be an easy task. Canaan had a large mixed population who would not yield territory willingly. The Canaanites lived in fortified cities along the coast and in the great valleys. Amorites dwelt in the hill country, while the Amalekites roamed the Negeb and it cites Numbers 13:29. It says other groups, Jebusites, Hittites, Perizzites, and Neo-Hittites occupied the villages and towns of the land. So it cites Joshua 3:10, Joshua 9:1, Deuteronomy 7:1. As Joshua assumed the mantle of leadership for Moses and prepared the tribes for battle, he knew only the power of God could grant the fulfillment of the ancient promise to his forefathers. I'm getting to the point, y'all. Hold on. The books of Joshua and Judges tell the story of conquest and settlement. Joshua concentrates on the initial phase of the process. Y'all hear this? The initial phase, so the beginning. While Judges describes the struggle of the tribes to possess the land in the face of pressure from neighboring people. A careful reading of both books make two things clear. First, the conquest of the land was not accomplished in one generation. I know we have a tendency, first of all, to think that the Bible is in chronological order. The second thing we have a tendency to do is to think that these events that we're reading happen like one day after the next. No, generations had passed by. That's why I was telling you, says the conquest of the land was not accomplished in one generation. Now listen to this. The conquest was a process that extended over many generations and was not completed fully until the time of David and Solomon, 1000 to 922 BC. David was the first king who ruled over a territory that included all the lands allotted to the tribes. Ain't that some? Michelle, I need some bombs to drop, bro. That's a bombshell right there. So David, so all the other, so Saul didn't see it. No Israelites saw it before David's time. David, and that's why when you read about David, you read about him killing all them Philistines and him constantly going to war with the Philistines, because when you read in the book of Judges, they were like our main opponents. But David wiped them out, and he established our land as a whole during the time of David, and it would go on during the time of Solomon. This is why Solomon was doing so much exploring and so much building. Because we had so much land, man. We had a lot of work to do. We had to still cultivate all these cities. So I wanted to bring that out so everybody could get a picture of what we're about to read here in Judges. Where was we at? In Joshua chapter 13. So I'm going to read verse 1 again. It says, now I ain't even read it. Let me get to it. So Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Y'all see that? So this goes right hand in hand with what we just read out of the Holman's Bible Atlas. So let's get Deuteronomy chapter 6, because yes, he did give us lands, but he also gave us instructions for when we got on the land. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, and it reads, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it. So this is before we even got there. This is that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. When he says thy sons and thy sons' sons, he meant for generations, y'all. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be raising up our kids to be Israelites. We're supposed to be raising our kids up to go off to college and do all this other crap. And I'm not saying nothing's wrong with college, y'all. I'm not saying that. But your kid has to know their heritage. They have to know to keep the Most High's commandments so they can teach their kids. We're here in captivity, so it's certain things that we just got to do to make a living. But we still got to know about the Most High. We can't be joining to the other nations and what they do. We're around here celebrating the 4th of July and Valentine's Day and Mother's Day and Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter egg hunt, Halloween. We can't be doing none of that, man. Running around talking about love is love. That ain't for Israelites. That ain't for our kids. Teach our kids that damn madness. We never did that. Well, we're going to find out we did. But that's the reason we kept going to captivities. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord power of thy fathers had promised thee in the land that flowed with milk and honey. So these were the instructions he gave. Deuteronomy chapter 27 now. And that time be going by fast as hell. Deuteronomy 27 and what verse 1. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Moses consistently warned us to keep the ways of the Most High. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord power of thy father hath promised thee. Y'all see this? He told, man, write it down so you don't forget. That's the reason we got the fringes. We wear the fringes so we don't forget. But if we don't teach our kids, what's going to happen? The generations behind us going to forget. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. So we know we ain't the head, we not above, so obviously we didn't listen. Verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, we'll, for us Israelites who know we Israel, don't eat pork, we'll keep the Sabbath, we'll follow all the other laws. But what about the law he gave in Deuteronomy chapter 6 when he said to teach the laws, his laws diligently unto our children? Are we doing that? Are we training our replacements? We should be. Let's go to Judges now. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, and where I'm going to start? Verse 1. Judges 2 and 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swore unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. What does never mean? It means never, ever, ever, ever. So for you Christians talking about, nah, he rejected the children of Israel. Nah, they rejected him. He said the covenant was going to be forever. Verse 2, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Here it is, man. Joshua was dead by this time. And we already tripping. We worshiping other gods already. Verse 3, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. So this is the Most High telling the children of Israel, because y'all ain't do what I told y'all to do, I'll make these nations y'all didn't kill and drive out. They're going to be y'all downfall. That accompanied with the fact that y'all ain't been teaching y'all kids, man, like I told y'all. Hold on for a second, y'all. Y'all, I'm back. Where was we at? That was Judges 2:1-3. And now let's jump over to Judges chapter 3 and verse 1. We're going to read 1-12. So Judges chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Now, what does this mean? Because what was the wars of Canaan about? Conquest. But it says that it was a lot of Israelites that didn't know about the conquest, didn't know that we were supposed to, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, y'all go back and read it on your own time. There were Israelite generations that didn't know we were supposed to kill all these people that was in these lands and occupy them. Read it again, y'all. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know. So why did the Most High leave them? So that the generations that didn't know about the conquest would know. Like, oh, then we're supposed to kill some people. I'm going to read it again. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. Come on, man. This just proves how we wasn't teaching our kids. How are you not teaching your kid that, hey, God said for us to go in and murder all these people? This is our land. Or just show, hey, this is our land, but we got to get these people off first. The Most High said to kill them. You see how things could get lost, man? This is why it's so important, man, for you to know your biblical heritage, also your heritage here, man. If you got a relative that's up in age, it's important you should go talk to them and find out, hey, what happened? What's our history? What's our family heritage? You find out some stuff that you didn't know, which will help you make sense of why you are the way you are or why your family the way it is. Anyway, man, where we at? Let me read on. It says, only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof, namely five lords, the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baharman unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, but the Most High said what? To kill the Canaanites, Hivites, Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. That's a reference. Verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cheshon-Rish-Adam, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cheshon-Rish-Adam 8 years. So we were what? We were in captivity to this king of Mesopotamia for 8 years. Now watch this, verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So, and this is the recurring theme of the Bible, y'all. We will mess up, go through a captivity, cry about it, pray to the Most High, and he will send us a Savior. This is a recurring thing. Anyway, reading on, I'm going to read to verse, verse 12. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and he went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cheshon-Rish-Adam, king of Mesopotamia, into his hands, and his hand prevailed against Cheshon-Rish-Adam, and the land had rest 40 years. So 40 years, we was good. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in his sight, in the sight of the Lord. So you see this recurring thing, y'all? We kept messing up. Like I said, all through the book of Judges. Let's go to Judges chapter 4. We'll start at verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Are y'all seeing this, man? This is the whole theme of the Bible. Reading on. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazar, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, read it again, for he had 900 chariots of iron. In 20 years, he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. So here it is, we're in a 20-year captivity. And when you read on in this chapter, you find out that the prophetess, Deborah, saved us out of this particular captivity. Let's move on to Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So this is not a typo, y'all. This is us continually messing up. So now we're in a 7-year captivity under the hands of the Midianites. Hope everybody's seeing this. Now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 22. Jump ahead a little bit. But you got to ask yourself, why did we keep messing up? Because we weren't teaching our kids, man. We weren't carrying on the Most High's ways and giving them to our kids, man. So we're in, I keep losing my place. 2 Kings 22 and 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boskoth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now I'm jumping ahead a little bit, y'all, because there's a whole bunch of kings in the book of Kings that you're going to read, and he did evil. And he did evil. I mean, it's like a recurring thing. You keep reading. You read about 3 kings before you get to 1 king that did good. Sometimes be like 4 or 5 of them. You'd be like, damn, is anybody going to do right? So I'm reading on. It says, and it came to pass in the 18th year of Josiah that the king sent Zophar, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. So he sends this dude up to get silver, because the silver was used for the upkeep of the temple, y'all. Now let's get that real quick. Let's get Exodus chapter 38. Exodus 38 and verse 21. This is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted, according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites, by the hand of Ishamar, son of Aaron, the priest. So we were commanded to give money for the temple. Read it. And Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholah, son of Ahisamath, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver, and a cunning workman, and an embroiderer in blue and purple, and in scarlet and fine linen, and all the gold that was occupied for the work, and all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents, and 730 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel of the sanctuary was to keep up. That was what was required to keep the sanctuary up. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,700, 350 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, a beha for every man, that is, half a shekel. Y'all see that? For everybody, had to give half a shekel. After the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone that went to be numbered, from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,550 men. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, and 100 shekels of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. So this tradition kept on even to the New Testament, or this commandment, I should say. Matthew chapter 17, y'all. Just a little sidebar. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 24, and it reads, "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, do not your master pay tribute?" Now, this ain't talking about the tribute to Caesar. Let's listen. Verse 25. "He said, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jehoshaphat prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jehoshaphat said unto him, then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Go thou to the sea and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Like I said, this goes all the way back to what we just read in Exodus. Now watch this. Let's go to go back to 2 Kings chapter 22. And what verse was we in? Here we go. Verse 5. It says, "And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord." So King Josiah sent, who did he send? Shaphar, the son, he sent him to collect this money for the building of the temple. So his mind, his heart was in a good place, but it's crazy. I'm just reading, and we're going to find out. It says, "And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpentry and buildings, builders and masons, and to buy timber and use stone to repair the house." Like I said, this is from Exodus. This is for the upkeep of the temple. "Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully," meaning they gave what they were supposed to give. Verse 8, "And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." What? He found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. So what does that mean, he found it? It was missing. The laws and statutes of the Most High was missing, y'all. But obviously some had been passed down, the upkeep of the house, because they were doing that, and that was a commandment. But what was we not doing? That's the question, because the book had been missing. How our whole foundation of what we live on, the way we operate, how that's going to be missing? So what was we doing? Just winging it? Some of the stuff we knew orally, but some of the stuff we had forgot? Man, that's why it was so much damn wickedness going on. Because everybody had an opinion on what the Most High wanted, but nobody actually had proof, which is the book. Verse 9, "And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it unto the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe sued the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes." Why did he rent his clothes? because he was upset because the king knew, man, this whole time we've been doing everything wrong. We've been messing up. This is why we've been messing up. We didn't have our instruction manual. This is why we've been winging it and making stuff up as we go. Why the hell we don't know what we're doing? Y'all, it's a blessing to have it now in front of our face. But if we ain't using it, then we in the same boat. Our children gonna be in the same boat. Verse 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Abar the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asahah a servant of the king, saying, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. Now, let's jump over to Hosea chapter 4, y'all. And we're going to start at verse 6. And we always read this verse, man, but I don't really think we understand what it's talking about. Hosea 4 and 6, it said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we are. But why are we destroyed for this lack of knowledge? Because we haven't been handing the Most High's knowledge down from generation to generation. That's why I said a lack of knowledge, meaning a lack of not knowing. This is why we've destroyed. This is why from generation to generation has been sodomites, drug addicts, dope fiends, adulterers. This is why, man. Let me read it again. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou has rejected knowledge and the fact that we reject it because we didn't teach it. I will also reject thee, listen to this, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. So we wondering why our children getting shot dead in the street by the Mike Browns, Sandra Blaine's, and all the other people just coming up dead. This is why. The Most High ain't going to protect them because you didn't protect them. You didn't teach them about the Most High. It says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. And this has been Israel's problem, man. We get a little something, and we completely forget about the Most High. It's just like right now, man, everybody got this income tax money. They spending, going out buying rims and all kind of stuff. But have you paid your tithes? Have you given to the Passover fund for the lamb, for the brothers to get down here? Have you did that? Most I said, therefore will I change their glory into shame. All right, now let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 10. Second Chronicles 21:10. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hands, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compel Judah thereto. So this is King Jehoram. Yeah. He didn't teach nobody nothing about the ways of the Most High because he wasn't taught. Verse 12. And there came a writing from him, from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus said the Lord God of David, thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, thy father. Oh, my bad. Well, I guess Jehoshaphat didn't teach him, or he just was a bad apple. That's probably the case. Matter of fact, it is, because he's going to say right here, this Jehoshaphat, thy father, knowing the ways of Asa, king of Judah, or Asa, king of Judah, but has walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and has made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring. Because at this particular time, the kingdom of Israel or the northern kingdom didn't have no good kings. That's why he said, man, I just like the northern kingdom. And they went a-whoring into idolatry. It says, like to the whoredom of the house of Ahab, and also has slain thy brethren of thy father's house. So he killed all his brothers. You can go back and read the chapter. He killed all his brothers. Now, which, listen to what the Most High said. Which were better than thyself. I mean, they was better than you, nigga. You thought you was the show enough, but they was better than you. Meaning what? They were faithful to the Most High. They were going to serve the Most High, man. Let's get Mark chapter 10, verse 13. I had about 3 minutes, y'all. So Mark chapter 10. This is why Christ said this also. Mark 10 and 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Listen to what Yahushua said. But when Yahushua saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. What was Yahushua telling us? That your children might see the kingdom. You might not see it. And we always say this. The kingdom might not come in my lifetime. Well, if it don't come in my lifetime, who should I be preparing to inherit the kingdom then? My children, the next generation. I don't just mean the kids in your house. I mean the kids you run around calling niece and nephew. You want them to replace you, right? You want them to believe in the Most High. You don't want to have their blood on their hand. And the reason I say blood, you don't want to be saying coulda, shoulda, woulda when something bad happened to them. Because you weren't instrumental in their lives and teaching them about the ways of the Most High, rearing them up so they can make it to the kingdom. So, y'all, that's the 92nd mark. I hope that y'all got some out of the installments that I did dealing with this particular topic. But we have to teach our nation, the generation after us, the ways of the Most High, man, so this can continue. Till we get the hell out of here. Come on, y'all. With that said, I'm going to end it right there. Mashab with the water for hooking up the broadcast. I see some brothers online. Shalom, Akim, Yahabashim, Yahshab, like a thumb. The water for tuning in. Until next time, y'all. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Tuzzle Pod Tuesday, Tuzzle Pod Tuesday, Tuzzle Pod Tuesdays every Tuesday. Shalom, y'all.